Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
We have with us today a really special guest, and we are delighted. Marilyn May, welcome to Crossover.
I'm so glad to be with you, Jill.
Well, this is, I don't think the show is long enough to list your credentials, but I think you are an icon, and you were actually in the early days of television, not the early days, but certainly when The Tonight Show.
Not early enough, I think, or we would be a household name by this time.
Yeah.
I was the person that was discovered I was the overnight success who worked for 20 years.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
By that time, you know. But we were not in the 40s. We started recording in the 60s, you know, and by that time, rock and roll was in, and my timing was a little off there.
Not really. Well, you are, I mean, your style lasts really, I guess, forever.
It's timeless.
I
like to think that it is timeless.
Is. And it's wonderful to see people that are healthy and operating as they always were and are terribly successful. You've had sold out performances wherever you've sung.
It's just been fun. It's the fact that there are young people there too, you know.
Well, I was going to say, you've crossed over the generation gap.
I'm just so glad about that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your very, very beginnings. I mean, people, Marilyn May and The Tonight Show, but tell us all about you.
Well, actually, in my very early, my mother decided that when I was born that I would be a girl, that I would be a singer, that she would name me Marilyn after Marilyn Miller, a star in her days. And she taught me Look for the Silver Lining, which Marilyn Miller sang,
right.
And we still do it in the act. My mother was a very strong lady, so all of that came true. Lucky for my mother that I could sing.
Well, I was going to say she had it all planned out.
She had it planned.
Yeah,
she did.
Right.
And I worked in the Middle West. We lived in the Middle West in Topeka, Kansas. And then mother and I moved to, when we divorced my daddy, we went to Des Moines, Iowa. And I went to school there, and as soon as I got out of school, I headed for the agent's offices in Chicago and worked every Moose Club in Illinois.
Yes, okay. That's the
all those funny rooms. And finally, then, as time went on, I married a dancer from Kansas City. And we moved to Kansas City, but we stayed on the road. We worked lots of clubs all around. In those days, you know, there were lots of cabarets
around.
There
were outlets you can really
get
experience.
Yeah, there were nightclubs, you know, and it was wonderful and a great experience. Then I divorced him, and I married a pianist because he was a great, great jazz pianist, and that's, you need a pianist more than you need a dancer in your life. So
I thought you were going to say more than you need a husband, but
well,
that's okay.
Well, maybe that too. It didn't work out too well marital, as far as our marriage was concerned, but he was a great jazz pianist, and we worked a little room in Kansas City for 11 years. We sat there, and during that time, we did a demo record, a demonstration of new songs that a Kansas City lawyer had written, and it was sent around to the record companies. Steve Allen owned Pacific Jazz mm-hmm. Records at that time. And they didn't buy the record, you know. The man that wrote the tunes hoped that somebody would pick up the master, but they didn't do that. But he bought the singer. Steve Allen called and said, "Come out and do my." At that time, he had a prime time show on Wednesday nights, long after his Tonight Show association. And we did his show many times. Then he went over to Ranch Market and did have a late night show there. And on the last performance before the show went off the air, a man with RCA saw it and said, "I want to record you with RCA." So we went into New York, into Webster Hall, wonderful, where it was in the days when everybody did their thing all at one time.
Yes, it was just, you did it.
There was no dubbing.
That's right.
You know.
Right.
And this fabulous big orchestra with Don Costa.
Oh, my, yes.
Arrangements,
mm-hmm. sure.
and many album arrangements.
Sure, sure.
And we did the first album, and it did take off. We were happy about that, and did 7 albums on RCA.
What were some of the tunes that
well,
you did?
One of the hit records was Cabaret. We opened, we did it, we introduced it before the Broadway show opened, long before the movie, and it was a big hit for me. We did Step to the Rear, which was a tune from How Now, Dow Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Step to the Rear was not a hit record, but it was a hit, it was my monetary hit. Because we were hired to do it as a Lincoln Mercury commercial, a national Lincoln Mercury commercial, and we were with them for 4 years, so that was great fun.
So for our younger audience, what years are you talking about now?
In the 60s.
It's the 60s.
In the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. you know, early 70s. And during that time, I was working all the nightclubs. There was a living room, a little wonderful jazz room called the Living Room in New York.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, and I worked it many times.
Very trendy.
Very.
And East Side.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and 7 nights a week you worked, 3 shows a night.
Right.
That killed myself.
Right.
We did record the second album live at the Living Room. That was great fun. And then we went to the Copa. We went to the Copacabana and the Rainbow Grill.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Copa.
Well, all the top restaurants and clubs actually in New
York.
Yeah,
and the Copa was, you know, so wonderful because big band.
Big band.
Yeah, you know, those
shows.
Were,
yeah.
Sure. Those were the great days. All of those days, then I finally went back to the Middle West when all of that started closing. And I've worked steadily in the Middle West in jazz rooms and theaters and concerts, lots of symphony concerts around the country.
Now, tell us a little bit. You really are a crossover artist in the sense that you some of the tunes are, of course, are ballads and they're mm-hmm. straight, I guess, singing. But in terms of jazz and,
Well, that's the, that was always the, on the first album, that was all the, always kind of a problem. It was the good news and the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
My A&R man, said, don't you understand? I mean, when they would say, well, where is she?
Yeah, exactly. Where are you?
She,
how
right.
can you define your
don't,
style?
Don't pigeonhole her, you
right.
know. Is she a Broadway show singer? And of course, RCA kind of did that to me because I was their commitment singer. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time.
What does it mean?
Well, it means that if you record the hit tune from this Broadway show and it takes off, as they did, meaning that the disc jockeys played it a lot, then RCA would get the cast album from the Broadway
sure.
show. And we would introduce this before the show ever opened. So I did Cabaret and Step to the Rear and Sherry and lots of Broadway show songs. Sherry is Lipton. James Lipton wrote Sherry. And mm. It was from the show Sherry, the musical based on The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Oh, okay.
And it was a big hit. Sherry was a hit
the
for
hit
me.
Was,
the show, yeah, the show
yeah.
wasn't. Cabaret, of course, was a hit for me. And
Cabaret had a second life, actually, very big life.
With the movie, then.
The movie,
you see.
It
yeah,
was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then they did it again. Not too long ago here in New York.
Yeah, right.
Where it was kind of a very black version, very kind
uh-huh.
of Brito. Well, it was a, you know, kind of a campy
version of it.
Really raunchy.
Uh-huh. The thing about me was that I could do those kind of showbiz songs, but then I also recorded Take 5 on
right,
the first
right.
album. And at that time we were doing a lot of all the jazz standards, the jazz standard ballads and whatever we do, we swing, you know,
right,
there's always
right.
a jazz flavor and I don't sing the melody exactly. You know, we improvise.
But was that just the way you started singing? I mean, you were singing
always,
for the Silver Lining, so that sure wasn't...
Which was Broadway. But no, we always sang. The piano man that I married was a great jazz piano
man. That
so that put us in a jazz bag. And finally, my A&R man said, no, don't pigeonhole her. She's the complete singer. He used the word complete, and I thought that was kind of wonderful. Yeah, that was wonderful for me. Now, in New York, the last 2 years, we've worked pretty steadily in New York, about every 3 months for 2 weeks at a time, in a room called the Metropolitan Room in Chelsea.
That's the new area.
Yeah, it's a new area and a new club. They've only been open about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So, it's given me a whole new life. At this age, I celebrated a very large birthday, and they'll have to come to hear us at Morgan's Cabaret.
I think it is, right? We always say.
Yeah, it's the new 40.
It's the new 40, that's right. But actually, you've also gotten some amazing awards, I think, or lifetime achievement things, always makes one kind of stop and say, why am I getting this? It's not over yet.
I did say that, exactly. I said that exactly, Jill, when I got up to accept it. I said, but wait a minute, I'm not through.
Well, you know what? In a way, it's not so bad because at least it gives you a sense of appreciation of the world and what you've done.
Well, and I was so honored because I was the new kid on the block in New York. You know, the first award was the Nightlife Critics Award, which was presented at Town Hall in January, and then in April, you know, 2 months ago, was the Backstage Bistro Award, and I was honored especially because I'd only been back in New York for a year and a half.
But obviously your performance and your voice, I mean, nothing has really, it hasn't deteriorated in any way.
And we hope not.
No,
we pray
for
that.
And also, I don't know how to say it. You give hope and life to people of a certain age who have been, we stratify our generations.
Right.
And to see someone so active and looking so good and still doing your thing so well, it really is inspiring, I think, for the people.
I've heard
that,
the word inspiration more in the last 2 years than I've ever heard it.
It's wonderful.
People tell me that, and I'm honored about that.
Well, that's what we should be doing as people age. I think they should think about their talents and
use and keep using them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Retirement is not in my vocabulary.
No. Well, I don't think they're going to let you retire.
Well, it's just when the voice quits. That's why I'm singing as fast as I can.
Do you find a difference in when you're preparing, you know, a show? I mean, is it?
Sure. You know, the keys get lower.
Yes.
Ella Fitzgerald and I were very dear friends, and we talked about how we keep, you know, having the charts recopied because the keys get lower, you know. At first I was just a half tone lower, and now I'm about a tone and a half lower.
Well, as you have a rich sound.
Well, right. Some of the things you may play off the Sounds of May, which was recorded with the Don Costa arrangements, are me younger and higher. Now it is lower, and there's an advantage to that, certainly.
Now you're going to be appearing at Morgan's Cabaret, that's at the Prince Theater. You're opening.
We opened. We're already open. We close on the 14th. It was Sunday, the 14th. And it's a 3 o'clock performance. So it's a lovely theater, and it's the sound is great, and it's a very warm.
Very warm.
Yeah, it's great. It's like a living room. It's like a great big living room.
Yes. And I guess your repertoire is?
They were very happy with it. I did get requests for Cabaret and Step to the Rear. And what else did he want to hear? Oh, Mame last night. And we did answer those requests. You know,
now, were you in shows? You said you did Mame.
I did Mame several times. I've done Dolly a lot. Mm-hmm. I've done those Broadway shows a lot. That's where the broadness of our career happens because I work a lot of jazz rooms and a lot of jazz festivals. In September, we'll be at Lake George doing their jazz festival. And it's the difference in the rooms that we work is We're doing symphony concert with Indianapolis in September. What do you do when
you're doing something like that?
My Don Costa, Peter Matz arrangements, you know.
I worked with Peter.
Did you work with Peter?
Oh, yeah, he's fabulous.
Oh, I know. Oh, and Don Costa left too early.
Right.
Terrible, terrible.
But those were the big names, but Broadway isn't like that anymore. And I guess the business is different, too.
It's very different. It's that's what probably makes people retire. I always say when I hang up the phone during the day, I'm going to quit. Because the dealings are very different now than they were. I think you have people that are not... Many times, in many instances, it may be people that don't know the business as well, and they don't know the requirements for a performer that we're not really demanding. I don't demand Armenian pastry in the dressing room, but I do demand monitors, sound monitors, mm-hmm. and good sound systems and lighting. Lighting's very important to me, and I think the places that you work now don't put enough emphasis on the fact that your lighting is it's a show that you see and hear.
I don't think the approach to performance now is very different than it was. It's not
a little
as
more
intimate.
Casual.
Well, yeah, and also there's a lot of electronic hype going on, and I mm-hmm. think that when you have an artist like you that comes on, this was the magic of the kind of work that you do, because the audience is part of what you do.
They are.
And you, of course, bring them in.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
My line is that I sing to the audience, not for them.
Oh, yes.
They don't have to join me. We join each other, you know.
You live now in Kansas City.
I live in Kansas City.
Yes.
But the planes go everywhere, you know.
Well, obviously you're on them. I wanted to ask you about recordings. Now, we have, of course, in this show, we're playing recordings from shows that you did with Johnny Carson. Is it just a tribute?
It's songs that I do. Super Singer, because he called me, that was his nickname for me. He always called me Super Singer. And, when he was asked to do liner notes on one of my albums, he said, "Oh, I don't write liner notes for artists." And I'm sure he would be approached by many artists at that time to write their liner notes on their albums. But he said, "For Marilyn, I know what I'll say." He said, "I call her Super Singer." And those were the liner notes.
You had an unusual situation that people kept asking you to come back on the show. I mean,
it was
so wonderful. On and on.
Oh, yeah. We did it 76 times.
My goodness.
Which was a singer's record, and I'm honored about that. So we recorded this CD with songs. I didn't really, they're songs that we did on the show, and with liner notes that talk about my time on that show. It was a wonderful experience for me. The other CD that you have is called Sounds of May, and it's just a compilation of the RCA stuff that we did early with the Don Costa, Peter Matz arrangements, and their big full orchestra. Those are the arrangements that we do with symphonies still, you know. And it's timeless material. It's Misty and Too Late Now was
well, all of them. I'm looking. I'm saying, oh yeah, oh I love that. Oh yes, that's one I really adore. Oh, is she singing that? You know, that's what I think the audience gets.
And they
from
do.
You,
I, last know. Night there were many compliments on. Thank you for singing songs that we know.
And
I said, I'm not out to educate the audience. I'm out to entertain them.
Have you been touched at all musically by what's been going on in terms of the change in pop tunes?
I'm always thrilled when something is written with a lyric, not a repetitive lyric.
Okay.
The lyric is first, and we do in the show a song that's not too old called Here's to Life.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyric is fabulous. I just last Sunday worked in New York for the World Science Festival at NYU.
Oh, my.
And they asked me to come in. Their last present, they had a 3-day festival with these Nobel winners talking about all kinds of scientific things that are happening in the world. And I thought, how on earth can I fit into that? Well, I could fit into the longevity part of it. Their last performance on the Sunday night was longevity.
Mm-hmm.
That 90, they say 90 is the new 50.
Oh,
so well, in that case, I'm 40 years old. I was thrilled about that. And I my songs, I do a lot of very positive. So I do Jerry Herman's It's Today. That's my mantra. That's the way I live.
Well,
by
for,
those lyrics.
For our audience, Marilyn is stunning, and she's really vibrant, and she looks fantastic.
And I'm healthy. Thank God for my health.
Well, singing does that, doesn't it?
And I think you have to keep moving. You know, that's so they were asking, and so they asked me to sit on the panel after I sang all these positive songs that I'm doing in Morgan's Cabaret, a Get Happy medley, and we're doing. Opening with the song is you and it's today and here's to life.
Well, you know, it kind of reflects what the people that wrote the verses felt about life. I think the message is really wonderful and it's timeless.
And it's yes, and it's good that you can make it your message.
Yes.
I'm always thrilled when they've written something that I can make it mine.
Yes, yes.
You know. Yeah. So they asked me to sit on the panel and hear all these brilliant scientists that are talking, and then I was on the end. So when they ask about what do you think is the myth about longevity, many of them were saying, well, exercise isn't all of it or mm-hmm. whatever. There were, you know, myths about, my answer was, cosmetic surgery does not necessarily make you young.
No, it's
and
true.
That I think it's attitude. I think it's attitude and that you keep moving and that's
and
what
you
keeps
challenge,
you young.
And you challenge yourself, I
every
think.
Night.
I think you cannot
every
just
every night you
stop.
Challenge yourself.
Yes, just to make it through,
absolutely.
Not only make it through the day, but to physically do things.
Get up and do it.
And
yeah.
if you have a talent, if that's
right.
something that doesn't
you've
go away.
You've got to use it or you lose
yes,
it.
That's true on many, many levels, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
Well, now, what are your plans after you leave Philadelphia?
Well, in September, we'll be back in New York, in Chelsea at the Metropolitan Room. It's on 22nd Street, in September. And it's several, we're there for probably 7 or 8 nights, sporadically, because during that time, then we go to the Indianapolis Symphony, but then we come back to New York. And then we're there again in November. At the Metropolitan Room, because we will be doing one night at Lincoln Center in the Rose Hall for Mabel Mercer Foundation.
Okay.
So then that's one night.
And what are the dates
and that,
on that
date is November 1st, and we're at the Metropolitan Room the 2nd and the 3rd of November, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. So that'll be a fun engagement because it's a very short engagement, and so everybody just take the train and
but
come over.
But it's an East Coast, and it's not far from Philadelphia.
That's right.
So anyone
yeah.
that loves Marilyn May, you've got to put a note in your calendar.
We worked a little room in New Hope, Harlan's.
Oh, yes.
And I think a lot of the people that were there are going to come to our performance here in Philadelphia, but they want us back. Too at Harlan's, but we haven't set that date yet. But
well,
but
we're
that'll
be keep
fun.
Bothering.
Yeah,
you.
That'll be fun. I'm going to let you know, Jill.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful just speaking with you. I can't tell you. I'm going to say that you inspire me.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
And
well,
you,
you're doing what you do.
Yes, I'm.
Are you still playing harp?
I'm still playing the harp, but radio is my second first career, I guess. So
isn't that
I mean,
great?
There are many, many years in the business, and I was in
did
New York.
Did you play jazz harp?
Not jazz, but I did a lot of Broadway shows, and of course, those were the years where everything was happening in New York. Really.
So
you
wonderful.
Know, the commercials
oh,
and
I
the,
love happening the harp.
Yeah.
There's one tune that there's the last note is a harp, I think it's too late now. I'm not sure of that. But it's very important, and I always tell the sound man, please, you know,
bring the harp up.
Yes,
yeah,
goes up
right.
the harp
yeah.
sound.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming, Marilyn. It's just been a joy. I hope you'll come back.
I want to very much.
Keep us
thank
posted
you.
On everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Well, I love this city. It's a lovely town, and I'm going to rush to your beautiful Philadelphia Museum on my day off.
Yes, we have all kinds of things here. Great orchestras. Too, and not bad radio stations either. So.
And fabulous people that are knowledgeable that are doing the interviewing. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Wonderful. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Jill.